Straight Up with No Chaser. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
He is the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network and the free-to-download Odyssey app. Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. I'm not bashful. I'm not shy. I want to win some money this weekend. So let's all work together and tail PJ. Get some best bets for this weekend in college and pro football. PJ, welcome back into the sports bar. We've got some action on Saturday to discuss. And I really have this Bama-Wisconsin matchup circled as one like, oh, I want to see what that looks like. How are you, buddy?
Oh, my bad.
Sorry, PJ. Hey, PJ.
I'm doing good, fellas. How you guys doing?
Excellent, excellent. Can we start with Saturday and Wisconsin-Bama?
Let's do it. Yeah, so Bama's favored 15.5, 16.5, depending what book you're looking at. Total's about 50.5 in the game. It's not one of my favorite plays of the week, guys, but honestly, if I had to play it, I'd probably lean the points with Bama. Honestly, I think the Wisconsin team total under is probably the play. Tyler Van Dyke's just not any good, the quarterback for Wisconsin, and Bama's defense has looked pretty good the first 2 weeks. Obviously, you wonder what they look like with no more Nick Saban and new defensive scheme under Kane Womack, who's their defensive coordinator. But with how they played last week against South Florida, a game that was extremely sloppy, they had a ton of penalties, they had a ton of turnovers, and their offensive line was a little banged up. And some guys that they'll have playing this week on Saturday against Wisconsin, they didn't play initially against South Florida, hoping that, you know, they would kind of cruise in that game. And then they put those guys in the fourth quarter, fellas, and Bama went on like a 21-0 run in the final 6 minutes of the game. So I think Bama will be fine. You know, I think actually them playing pretty bad last week against South Florida is a good wake-up call for them. They got Georgia coming up in 3 weeks. They got a bye in between the Wisconsin and Georgia game. So want to end on a good note heading into the bye week. I'd honestly probably lay it with Bama, guys, at 15.5.
Yeah, that is in the early window, the noon kickoff on Fox. Another early game here, PJ. I want to get your thoughts on Florida State at home against Memphis. Now, PJ, we've been listening to you for 2 years now, and if I'm channeling my inner PJ, it would go something like this. Guys, I love a team that the public overreacts to after a loss. And for Florida State, this is a rough start at 0-2, but they're not this bad where they're only favored by 6.5. I love Memphis, you know, not to cover. I love Florida State in this spot. PJ, did I get that right?
You know, I mean, the impersonation, the content, it was all money. I mean, right there. Absolutely. Florida State, guys, 6.5, right? Nobody wants them. I mean, this was a team that was top 10 preseason. They lose their first two games as double-digit favorites, and now here we are again, and they're a 6.5-point favorite against a Memphis team that a lot of people think could win the Group of Five this year and make it to the college football playoff. Interesting storyline is that FSU's head coach, Mike Norvell, was the head coach of Memphis, and his offensive coordinator, Ryan Satterfield, is now the head coach of Memphis. So, you know, obviously Satterfield getting to go up against his former employer, and Memphis kind of feeling like they're going into Tallahassee, right, against a Florida State team that's going through it right now and just searching for answers. So I think a lot of people are going to be on Memphis in this game, guys, but you are right, Gene. I like Florida State. I also like the over in this game. Memphis was one of the worst tackling teams in college football last season. Their defense isn't very good. And what we've seen out of FSU the first 2 weeks, they really can't stop the run. Memphis is one of the best quarterbacks in the Group of Five, and Seth Hannigan, he's been a four-year starter there. So give me the over 51.5, and I'm laying the 6.5 with the Noles.
PJ Glasser, BetQL, send it in, stopping by the sports bar, giving us his best bets for Saturday and Sunday's action in college and pro football. We've got a couple of interstate rivalries happening in the Mountain Time Zone on Saturday, PJ, between Colorado and Colorado State, and we could have a whole conversation on what's going on with the Buffaloes. But you have Utah State circled. What about this matchup is intriguing to you?
So, guys, this is actually my favorite game of the week. I love it for a couple reasons. The first one is the storyline of Utah State's quarterback is Bryson Barnes, who was the quarterback for Utah last season when they had all their injuries at quarterback. Cam Rising got hurt. Their second string got hurt. Bryson Barnes had to take over. So the fact that he gets to play against his former team, I mean, I love that angle. Also, the fact that this game is at Utah State, right? Like, you don't normally see a lot of Power Four teams go on the road to play a group of five team, and the fact that it's in state, this is going to be Utah State's Super Bowl, right? All those kids that grew up in that area told they weren't good enough to go to Utah, get a chance to play against the Utes. It's a look ahead spot for Utah as well. They travel to Stillwater next week to take on Oklahoma State in a big game. And then Cam Rising, Utah's quarterback, got dinged up last week against Baylor. There's some rumors going out that he might not play this week against Utah State. But even if he does, I mean, guys, it's just one of those games. Utah wants to get out healthy, right? They don't care how much they win by. They don't care if they win 7-3 or 70-3. They just want to win and get ready for Oklahoma State next week. And Utah State, I mean, they're going – this is their Super Bowl. This is the game that when the schedule came out, they circled first. They get Utah in their stadium, Bryson Barnes going up against his former team. So we're getting a whole lot of points as well with 20.5. So I love Utah State. We had a crazy upset with Northern Illinois last week against Notre Dame, guys. This might be the one this week. Maybe take a little shot at the money line as well.
PJ Glasser, your host of Send It In, weekdays on the BetQL Network. We'll tell you how you can get more PJ Glasser as well, as you can hear him on The Fan Rochester coming up Saturday mornings with the new show. We'll tell you about that. Turning to the NFL, PJ, and I guess the one thing I'm looking forward to in the Dallas-New Orleans game, I was at the Bills game last week. I could not watch the Tom Brady broadcast, and I don't know if that game was any good, but I guess Brady is on the call this week for Cowboys and Saints. Here are the Cowboys. I don't even know if you call it making a statement, but they got the win on the road week one. Are they good enough now to follow that up and cover against the Saints and their home opener?
Yeah, anything under 7, Gene, I would lay it with Dallas, right? I mean, New Orleans had probably the most impressive performance of week one, but it was against Carolina, and it looks like the Panthers, especially early on in the season, are going to go through some growing pains again. I still think the Saints stink. I'm still not sold on Dallas either, but Deshaun Watson looked really, really bad, and they're going up against another pretty bad quarterback this week in Derek Carr. And these are the games that Dallas typically rolls. Like, Dak at home is a big favorite, normally extremely profitable. He covers in these spots. So I do like Dallas, guys. Anything 6.5, 7. Once we get into 7.5 territory, I don't think we will, but if we got there, I wouldn't take it, but 6.5, 7, I like the Cowboys.
We all got bounced, right, last week in Survivor by picking the Bengals to beat the Patriots. However, if we were still alive in our Survivor pools, I think this would be the one we would have circled, the Ravens home opener. Hosting the Raiders, why do you like this matchup, PJ?
So I like the Raiders' danger, and the Ravens would scare me a little bit in Survivor. I think they win the game, but I'm certainly taking the Raiders plus the points. I'd buy them up to 10. There are some 10s that are starting to surface a little bit. Guys, Lamar Jackson is great as an underdog. We talked about all those trends last week against Kansas City, and he's good as a small favorite. But Lamar is a favorite of 3.5 points or more at home. That's when you want to fade him, ATS. He normally wins, but he normally does not cover in those games. 4-7 against the spread last three seasons is a favorite of 3.5 points or more. And three of those wins came last season. One was that game against the Bengals when Burrow got hurt in that Thursday night matchup against the Ravens. One was against C.J. Stroud in his very first NFL game in week one. And then the other one was that playoff game against the Texans as well. So other than that, I mean, Lamar's like 1-7. ATS, guys, is a big favorite. And here come the Raiders with that great pass rush with Crosby and with Christian Wilkins. We saw the Ravens' offensive line against Kansas City really wasn't all that great. Think about the scheduling spot, too, for Baltimore, right? A little bit of an emotional letdown after that Kansas City game. And upcoming, guys, the Ravens are at Dallas, home against Buffalo, and home against Cincinnati the next 3 weeks. So they got some tough games upcoming. They're on the heels of a tough game against Kansas City. I know they have some extended rest, but I like this spot for the Raiders. This is just too many points. Again, I think the Ravens win. Should be good in Survivor pools if you want to take them. I would more so lean Houston or probably Dallas or Detroit maybe this week. But I like Las Vegas plus the points.
Yeah, as there was a game on Monday night, PJ, Jets losing to the 49ers. That didn't surprise me. I mean, the 49ers are a Super Bowl team from last season. And, you know, the Jets offense maybe a little rusty. Maybe what was surprising is that the Jets defense gave up eight straight drives against that resulted in points to the 49ers. My question, the Jets, bounce back spot for them. They're playing in Tennessee. Do you like the Jets enough to cover 3.5?
I would actually lean towards the Titans here in this spot, Gene, just because, again, guys, like it's all, you know, when I'm betting the NFL, it's all about perception and how people are looking at these teams, right? And the takeaway from the Jets-Niners game is, oh, is Rodgers' first game's back? Like, the arm talent is still there. He made some really good throws. But the Jets were going up against one of the best teams in the NFL. They were fine. Run defense was a little bit of a concern. And Tennessee against Chicago last week, they ran the ball pretty decent. Tony Pollard, 16 carries for 84 yards. Their defense played really well. You're going to have Legarius Sneed on Garrett Wilson. And, I mean, watching the Jets' offense, like, Lazard did have a couple touchdowns, but outside of Lazard, I mean, there really wasn't much else. So I think Tennessee can do a pretty good job of stopping the Jets. And again, guys, I mean, Tennessee should have won that game by 2 touchdowns. It was just a complete meltdown. Yeah. The Bears did nothing on offense. So imagine the conversation around this game if Tennessee won by 2 scores like they probably would have. I mean, this line's 2.5, 3 points, and we view Tennessee way differently. So you guys know I love that kind of stuff. Will Levis certainly is a concern, but I just think we're just kind of all giving the Jets a pass when maybe that defense isn't as good as we all think it was coming into the season, and offensively a little bit of concern of some consistency at wideout other than Garrett Wilson. I'll take the Titans plus the points at home.
Now, when the schedule was released earlier this year, we had this one circles like, ooh, this is a good week two matchup. And now you look at it and you're like, yeah, it's still a rivalry, but man, it feels like these are two teams in different directions. When you talk about what we saw to the Chiefs last Thursday and what we saw to the Bengals that we mentioned booted us from our survivor pool, losing to New England in their home opener, they face off against each other this weekend. Do you think the Bengals bounce back? Do you think Joe Burrow has anything left in that arm?
I do, guys, and this is my favorite bet of the week. I love Cincinnati plus the points. Now, I do think Kansas City wins the game, but I'm going to give you guys a great stat that in the 4 meetings that Burrow and Mahomes have faced each other, all 4 of those games have been decided by exactly 3 points. And we know if there's one team and quarterback that has Mahomes' number, it's Burrow and the Bengals. He's 3-1 against them straight up, but these games are always close. It's like the classic Ravens-Steelers games. It's just like, even though they're obviously not in the same division, it does feel like Cincinnati and Kansas City is kind of like, right, Buffalo and KC and the Ravens and KC. Like, all these great AFC quarterbacks go up against Kansas City. I mean, these games are always close, and they always come down to the end. So I know the Bengals look terrible in week 1. People are going to get scared off of them again because Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow are now 1-8 in their careers in week 1 and 2. This is just what the Bengals do. They always get off to slow starts. So that's why I don't like them to win the game. But you guys know that they're going to be fired up. Kansas City knows that they're going to get Cincinnati's best shot. And, I mean, these games are just always close, guys. So if we're getting 6, I mean, that's a lot of points for a Bengals and Chiefs game that usually comes right down to the wire. I love Cincinnati this week.
PJ Glasser, our guest. All right, PJ, we left the Bills and Dolphins for last here. Tomorrow night, Miami giving 2.5 points. Today, we learned that Raheem Mostert will not be dressing in this. Looks indicating that it will be that certainly Devon Achane will be available. Bills without Taron Johnson, the important nickel corner in that defense. How do you view this?
Yeah, guys, I think the under is my favorite play, probably at 49. I think this is just too many points. Thursday night under is usually pretty profitable. And we know the Bills this year are going to commit to the run more, even with the injuries that the Dolphins have to their running back situation. You mentioned Mostert, Geno. Achane looks like he's going to be a game-time decision, too. I just think both teams probably going to put a little more emphasis on running the ball a little bit. I feel like a lot of these Bills-Dolphins games in Miami, you guys would know a lot better, but it does feel like these games are lower scoring, right? Like 21-14, games usually in the low 20s. So I just think 49 is too many points. Buffalo, obviously, with a great comeback against Arizona last week, but Dolphins defense much better than Arizona. I don't think they're going to allow the Bills to work the ball down the field as easily as the Cardinals did. So, look, it's a big advantage for the Bills, obviously, playing this game at night, so they don't have to deal with some of that South Florida heat during the day in September. Usually the Dolphins have a huge home field advantage this time of year, so that is definitely an advantage for the Bills. But the under, I think 49 is too many points in this game.
If you had to pick straight up, if you had to pick one, which way are you leaning?
I think I would lean the Dolphins if I had to pick it. Yeah. I think I'd take Miami. Yeah, how are you guys feeling about the game?
I said Miami by 10 here. I just think it's one of those measuring stick games for the Dolphins. The Dolphins in Week 18, you love narrative, PJ. The Dolphins leading the Bills at halftime. And then they give up a punt return for a touchdown, and the Bills go on and win. So, to me, the Dolphins win that. They're the 2 seed. They get Pittsburgh at home. How things kind of changed, they didn't. So, this is, it's pretty much the same cast of characters. And, by the way, the game time temperature tomorrow night, 82 degrees. we're keeping our fingers crossed for no thunderstorms out there, PJ. I don't know how that would play into it.
Man, yeah, again, like, look, it is going to be hot, certainly an advantage for the Bills that this isn't a 1 o'clock game and they get to play it at night. But, Josh Allen, as you guys know, if he limits the turnovers and doesn't have any like he did against Arizona and he's being Superman, they certainly have a chance. But, yeah, anything under 3, I would probably lean Miami with the points, but the under would be my play in the game tomorrow.
Very good, PJ. Talk to us about Send It In and what you got going on this weekend here on the Fan Rochester as well.
Yeah, guys, 1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern time. You can check out my show, Send It In, Mondays through Fridays. We're on twitch.tv/BeckQL, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. And then also over the weekend, I do a college show every Saturday morning, 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern with Ryan Horvath, BeckQL Tailgate Kickoff, which you can also check out on Twitch and YouTube. And then we're live from National Harbor on Sundays, 1 to 5 p.m. Eastern time, myself and Nick Ashew. And it's awesome, guys. Like, having that first NFL Sunday back, isn't it just crazy, the witching hour and how all those games
Yes.
just flip in the blink of an eye? Like, we obviously get it every year, but to just have it back and you watch all those games, like, the second half of the Bills game and the Bears come back and the Steelers come back and just all of these games, it's the best. So can't wait for another great weekend of football.
PJ, I'll be full disclosure, and Gino knows this because I texted it to him. Halftime of those early games on Sunday, I was questioning why I'm an NFL fan. I was telling him I should be a soccer fan. Like soccer, I like soccer. Maybe I could be a soccer fan because nothing looked the way it was supposed to look. Nothing. And it turned out okay. We enjoy the ride, and that's all it is, man. It's a roller coaster ride, and we're on week 2 of it this weekend. Thank you for the insight, and thank you for the winners.
Absolutely, guys. I, too, am a soccer fan now because our new coach is Mauricio Pochettino. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, PJ.
Thank you, PJ.
See you, guys.
PJ Glasser.
Wow. That's a walk-off shot there.
Host of Send It In on the BeckQL Network. He knows his audience. He knows what's going to get us. That Baltimore accent is a killer. Who's the guy that plays for the Blue Jays, since we got the Mets and the Blue Jays on here in the studio? Is it Loperfido? Loperfido, I want to say his name. Is good entrant for the Baltimore accent bracket when we work on that here for March for PJ.
As far as all the picks PJ made, which one surprised you the most? I'm going to tell you. Did not see him taking the Titans as a home underdog. Can you imagine what is being said in New York? It's one thing for the Jets to lose against the 49ers. Okay, but if the Jets lost to Will Levis, after Will Levis looked the way he did against Chicago?
The good news for the Titans is it's not likely that Will Levis is going to gift another team a win the way he did to Chicago. Like, that's the kind of boneheaded mistake you make once. You never make that mistake again.
You make it again, you're losing your
job.
That's
right. Yeah. That's right. You don't get the luxury of just handing over games to opponents the way Will Levis did to Chicago last week. So chances are he doesn't make that mistake twice. And even then, all that being said, you know, how much of what we saw on Monday is San Francisco being a really good team, and how much of what we saw is that maybe the Jets' defense, this isn't as good as we thought they were going to be coming into this season.
Not against the run, and if Pollard, and you have Spears there with the Titans, the 3.5, I thought, for sure, okay, this is the Jets' bounce-back spot, but it's tough to go coast-to-coast, and then the Jets are on the road this week. I think that is unfair, too. Like, why they can't, like, have if you were on the road week one, can you be home week two? There are a few teams in this league that are going to be the Raiders, and part of that, too, where the Rams, like, they have to be back-to-back on the road weeks one and two.
I know that this isn't anything like where you can put a number to it or anything like that, but I always think about when I'm looking at these games and these matchups and trying to predict outcomes, the vibes. Vibes around the team. Like, I think that matters. You know what I mean? Like, the Jets get their butts kicked in San Francisco. Hassan Reddick, still not with the team. Sauce Gardner appeared to be upset.
Right.
Aaron Rodgers rolling his eyes, being Aaron Rodgers. What are the vibes like around the Jets?
I thought you were going to say, what are the vibes like in Cincinnati?
Well, but I was PJ, that was
yeah, PJ
another one.
Yeah, PJ picking the Bengals, and I get the Bengals always are in the thorn of the side of the Chiefs, but I would just say, hey, if you're in Kansas City, it's payback time. Okay, you're down. Okay, we're the champs. We're looking to three-peat here. We're going to put our foot on your neck. You're going to run your mouth? Okay, that's why I think the Chiefs roll the Bengals this week.
Right. And I guess that's where you and I are like thinking differently than PJ. PJ's
right.
Looking for value with those lines, and I think to myself, what are the vibes like around the team? I know that that's not like a number, or you can't look at anything statistically. There's not a vibe meter for every team, but man, I imagine that in Cincinnati, where T. Higgins is playing on a franchise tag when he's playing, he's not playing because he's been injured, where Ja'Marr Chase doesn't have his contract, where you've got you can tell there's some hurt feelings there. Cleveland, bad vibes.
Yeah, and her feelings, and then I'm watching the video afterward where they're showing Joe Burrow shaking his hand. It's like, oh gosh, that's still bothering him,
yeah.
The wrist.
Yeah, bad vibes there. Yeah. Bad vibes in Cleveland. Bad vibes with the Jets. And I don't know how much of that factors into these outcomes, but I do think it is interesting to kind of view, like, how bad are the vibes with some of these teams that we actually had higher hopes for going into the season, and through 1 week, just don't look the way we thought they would look. Well, I appreciate PJ sharing some time with us and giving us his favorite plays, not just from the pro games on Sunday, but also the college games on Saturday. Colorado State's one I got to pay attention to. I have to see it fall apart for Coach Prime. They should beat Colorado State.
Things have turned quicker than I thought they would against Coach Prime, to the point where I'm nagging Perloff this morning, and they're talking about, is Coach Prime actually hurting his son in terms of his NFL draft, you know, value, which I think that's an interesting debate right now. Like, Shador is where he is because of his dad, but moving forward, all right, like some of these things that are happening with the Colorado team, whether that's, hey, we're going to play a rap song here. We're not going to have the band play after a touchdown. Really?
Yeah.
And
Nebraska, you know, playing it in the locker room afterwards in a win. Like, again, vibes, not great. Not great vibes in Colorado. Not great vibes around that program right now. And that's a big part of it, I think, what you're describing there. Super agent Lee Steinberg stops by the sports bar next hour.
Super agent.
Yeah. Roe and Rochesterian, I should mention. He's one of us. Dated a girl from Rochester once. Speaks highly of her. We will get Lee Steinberg on with us here in about half an hour, 45 minutes or so. And we have time for your calls on the other side as well at 866-4326. 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.